A very good evening and welcome once again to Terrace Talk. Tim Einan sitting in for Ivan Hurley tonight. And before we carry on with the show, I just would like to offer our condolences here, the team on Terrace Talk, and likewise Radio Kerry, to Ivan Hurley for the loss of his father-in-law. He's married to Eileen, and Eileen's dad passed away over the weekend, and our thoughts are with both the Norris family and the Morris family and the Hurley family this evening on Terrace Talk, and may Pat rest in peace. On tonight's show, we'll look back at the divisional championships over the weekend, some surprising results. Tonight, we'll also be speaking to MEK Galaxy under 15 girls who were very successful in the south of Barcelona. Likewise, MKL Gales ladies football club, big anniversary coming up with them. And we'll also be speaking about Champions Under Lights. And tonight, of course, it's all about Feathered Town Park. We'll host a doubleheader on Saturday the 13th of December, in which Kerry will be involved. And it's all for the Dylan Quirk Foundation. That's all to come. And if you want to contact us tonight, you can phone us on 066-7123-666 or WhatsApp 283-300-3300. And that's where we start tonight with, first of all, the All-Stars. I'm delighted to have once again both John Kennedy and likewise Liam Brosnan in studio. A very good evening, lads.
Good evening, Tim.
And I see, Liam, you're wearing your Curragh top. I don't see the SD top tonight, but I suppose he's after running out of work. He has the work top, John Kennedy. John, I'll start with you. The All-Stars, what's your own thoughts? Did you ever win an All-Star?
No, Tim. I was.
Should you have won an All-Star?
I don't know, I was lucky to be nominated, Tim, and tis a huge honour for I suppose it's, look, as an inter-county player, winning All-Ireland is the goal. But the individual awards afterwards that follow, it's a personal thing. It's for a family and for the club, like, and for the individual. And I must say that, you know, Kerry got a... it was a great night for Kerry. You know, the awards were well deserved, and we'll go through them. And then I suppose, you know, the player of the year, David Clifford, it just capped off what has been a great year for the Kerry senior footballers.
These are never universal in the sense that you'll always disagree with somebody, but we'll speak first of all about David Clifford. I think the same player hasn't reached his ceiling yet. I think there's more to come from this man. He's raised the bar this year. I take it he was very deserving. He was in there with Michael Murphy and Joe O'Connor. Joe had a massive, massive season. Can I, first of all, and I don't want to be harsh on Michael Murphy, but it kind of surprised me to see Michael, fair enough, he came out of retirement, but if you look at the All-Ireland final, he was very quiet. So how would you put Michael Murphy into that? He's an outstanding footballer in his time. How would you put him into Footballer of the Year category?
The final was his quietest game. But, you know, he was hugely influential throughout the campaign in Ulster and in the playoffs, we call them. You know, he's winning aerial ball, he's scoring, and I think his leadership qualities, you know, maybe I'm not sure what the criteria was, who else was in line. But Michael aside, you'd feel sorry for Joe O'Connor. On any other year, Joe O'Connor would be player of the year. There's no question about it.
I agree.
But he came up against... it's frightening. I agree with what you said, but it's frightening to think that David, that there's more in him. And I thought his interview on Friday night was, you know, it was down to earth, a guy that had won his third Player of the Year, and he was speaking about he not performing himself, and he looking at it with Jack, at it with O'Connor, and that's why the guy is so good, because he's looking for an improvement all the time. And, you know, we're so fortunate to have him in Kerry, but there's no question he was the player of the year.
Liam, what about the eight All-Stars that we received? You couldn't argue with any one of the... And I'm not saying it because we're here in Kerry and we represent Kerry, we follow Kerry. You couldn't argue with those, could you?
You couldn't. And I suppose when we were asked, probably during the week, John, look, you would feel sorry for Mike Breen. It's probably our biggest... I think it's our second biggest haul since 1981. I think we won nine. No, so it was a huge achievement. But to be fair, Kerry were very deserving. No, with the performances that they had all through, bar the meet match, no, and the way they carried on then from the meet match, from the, you could say, from the quarter final, semi final, and final, you'd be disappointed if we didn't have eight All Stars, Tim. To be fair, no, I suppose Mike Breen probably came up against probably the young footballer of the year in Finbar, Rota, no, from Armagh. So you couldn't argue that one really. To be fair, but as for the other eight guys, geez, without a doubt, no. All stars all the way.
And what about the players from other counties that made the cut? I mean, Louth got... Is that an acknowledgement of how Louth won and against the final? No, he's a serious operator, Sam Mulroy. He kicked some big scores. And one questions then when they didn't go too far in the championship, that should we be looking at the National League as well?
Well, that's a debate that's been put out there, all right. No, it's a hard job, and we see it even here with the player with the county championship picking players, and it usually comes down to quarter final, semi final, and final.
I mentioned a couple of players you didn't even think about for the county championship.
You mentioned a lot of players all the time, Timmy. We'd have two teams, but look, someone has to put their neck on the block and pick someone eventually. But I suppose Sam would probably be the big one, all right, for me. I was surprised to see him being called out because look, I know they got out of the. They won their Leinster campaign, but at the end of the day, I thought there may be one or two fellas that probably did more longer in the campaign for their counties.
And John, if you look at the, you know, normally if a team dominates and wins the championship, like the games that Joe were, I suppose you could say he was like a third midfielder, but he was lined out a right half forward. Was there any mention of our own boys that did so well from the Cork game, the likes of Sean O'Brien and Mark O'Shea? You know, these guys were the reason we won the All-Ireland.
There's no doubt. And I think, but it shows the competition, you know, for places, for every position. You know, you could name another 15
easily
that you could nominate for various, for their performances throughout the season. But I think when you come to the business end, I'd agree with Liam, it's then that you'll make your final decision, do you know? But like, you just take the goalkeeping position alone, like Shane Ryan, Rory Began, Ethan Rafferty.
Serious operators.
I mean, they're three of the best keepers that ever played the game. But it's a testament to Shane Ryan. What a year he had, you know.
But I suppose Shane, when he started out, these guys were doing things that Shane weren't, going back four or five. Shane has now caught up with them, if not passed them. Which, you know, the fast kickouts, the modern game, especially now with the new rules, it was a given that he was going to get it.
Oh, it was, yeah. We might be biased saying that, but it was a given. Like
he has improved.
He's been outstanding throughout the year. He's shot stopping. He's a big man in goals. He makes himself big. He's made some great stops. His kickouts were excellent, do you say? And he's not afraid to come out and help out as well.
I suppose he's learned from his mistakes as well. Yeah. No, and unfortunately, when the goalkeeper makes a mistake, it's highlighted a lot more than everybody else. No,
and we're very fortunate to probably have another serious keeper in the Kerry squad like Shane Murphy. Obviously, pushes Shane Ryan to the limits. You know, the guy looking over your shoulder, and I hear that they're very good friends, personal friends. But that means a lot as well to have somebody of the caliber. You know, I'm sure they do. They do work with the two of those guys. Work with the goalkeeper. Or
they train together, Tim. But I think the turning point for me for Shane this year, especially, was the mistake he made against Armagh. You know, the one out to Dylan Casey, but he never panicked after it. No, the next kick out was landed right, I think, down top of the Shawnee Shea or something like that. No, and he got on with it. No, and that comes with experience. Another goalkeeper might panic a small bit after that, and might get a bit nervous and everything, but not Shane anymore. Shane has really, you know, made that number one jersey his own.
I suppose a proud history in North Kerry, John, with fullbacks down through the years, Paddy O'Donoghue and a number of other great defenders, and we can move to the centre back position with the great late Tim Kennelly as well. Ballydunhu Club, doing it proud, relies a lot on speed, but he's definitely matured no end, Jason Foley.
Jason has matured into a superb footballer. You know, he always had the obvious ability. He's made the fullback his own in Kerry. He's the best fullback in the country over the last number of years. proud tradition from Ballydunho. You know, when you think of the Finucans and the Bunyans, you know, these guys, I mean, Jordy Connor, you know, they were all brilliant footballers, and they led by example. Liam Flaherty in latter years. But Jason he's the quiet guy in the team. He does his job. He's the man marker for the best defender, usually.
Yeah.
And what a job he does. And, you know, he makes the odd foray up the field. But, you know, I think as well, the way he carries himself, he had an interview after one of the games during the year, and he spoke so well. He's a great advertisement for football in the county, but for North Kerry, a lot of lads look up to him out there, and potential players. And he's the yardstick, and richly deserved. Outstanding. And you know, he has Shane Ryan behind him, but what a centre. And when you add Mike Breen in, and we said very unlucky not to get one, the spine of our team this year, spine of our defence, was solid. Outstanding.
Liam, the half-back line, Breen O'Byugley, totally deserving. Games again, you know, coming in from the wing and cutting through defence, he gives you a massive option.
A massive option. And, you know, he was just constantly driving Kerry forward, as well as Gavin White all year. You know, Mike Breen probably held that position a bit more, but the two boys were bombing up the field. You know, it's his first All-Star. He's knocking at the door with a while. So you'd be hoping, like, that would give a bit of hope to Mike Breen. You know, that you keep chipping away and keep at it, that it'll eventually come. And I've no doubt it will come for Mike. But I was delighted for Breen because, like I said, he's been knocking at the door a long time now, and he is a linchpin for Kerry in the half-back line.
Absolutely. Gavin White, what can we say about Gavin White? Pound for pound over the last number of years, John, he's been...
He's playing 10 years with Kerry.
10 years. Yeah.
And 3 years captain.
Yeah. And at one stage, a certain man put him at wing forward, which he probably wasn't his position. Yeah. He's an out-and-out half-back. I suppose he put down a marker in the All-Ireland final first, but what you get from it, we thought he'd lost his little yard of pace. My God, it was back big time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And look, he's a superb footballer. His footballing skill is unbelievable, but his pace, and I think the new rules are actually suiting him. Yeah. That space is opened up, and he really torments and terrorises defences running at them. And I think this year, he brought another dimension. Other years, you know, he might go into cul-de-sacs and get caught and get turned over. But this year, he seemed to do the right thing all the time. You know, kicked a few scores into the bargain, but, you know, he knew when to lay it off and he knew when to give it. But outstanding. And himself in big league from the half-back line.
Their
pace and their running at defences. That was incredible this year. And it played a huge part in Kerry's All-Ireland.
And isn't, John, the current game, the way with the new rules, pace is a given. If you have pace, if you haven't pace, you're found out. If you have pace, it can work too, if you're a baller as well, which majority of fellas are.
And I think when you get to Croke Park, and like that's why I think Jack O'Connor said numerous times, you know, we get to Croke Park, there's another kick in the team. The space is there, it's a huge field, and guys exploit it. And the fella that has pace, he relishes Croke Park. The fella that hasn't pace, he's in a bit of bother, I can think.
I know we've already spoken about David and about where this guy can go, where he's already probably the one of the best players of all times. Seanie O'Shea, when you go back and think of it again, and Ambrose alluded to the last night on the All-Stars, that I think the best 15 minutes of football that Kerry played probably wasn't that Armagh game. And they were watching David Clifford, but it was Seanie that came up and he was kicking scores for fun.
You know, I think it was 13 two-pointers in the whole competition he kicked. You know, Seanie has been... You know, and a lot of people don't see a lot of work Seanie does as well. You know, we always like to see the score and see the great kicks. But Seanie, you know, he's working back. He's turning the ball over. He's getting up the field. Seanie does a pile of the dirty work, as we call it. You know, he's a guy there at the number 11 jersey that... Over the last number of years, he's one of our main players, Tim.
Paddy Clifford.
What do you say about him, Paddy?
Yeah, what do you say about Paddy? I think the biggest compliment you can pay to Paddy is when he's missing.
Different game.
You can see it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, he brings a lot to the team. His work rate, his vision on the ball, his time on the ball, and the precise passing. And I think David excels when Paddy is playing because they're, you know, it's telepathic, really. If he goes to the right, Paddy gets it out there. If he goes to the left, but 'tis the quality of ball he gives in. And he's not afraid to have a cut for a score either when the chance is there. But, you know, he can mix it. He can drive in and he can win the dirty ball. I think he's crucial to carry. And getting that injury right at the right time was a big factor in Kerry progressing and winning the All-Ireland.
So overall, you're happy with the Kerry contingent, or if a player, like you said, we did mention Mike Breen, and I thought he was solid, personified all year, the Beaufort man. Can I ask again, a lot of coverage, and I won't take you out of your comfort zone, lads. I wouldn't be like that.
No.
They were on about a lot of influencers at, I don't know if you read the headlines, Liam, and Dawn reneged on me on this one, no, because you surely did, but there was a lot of people, probably not from a football background. Is that used purely for publicity to promote the game? Because I see a lot of the headlines today, I think it was one of the Clare journalists mentioned maybe local media beating the county of Donegal, likewise Kerry, the guys that promote the game, that probably they'd be better versed, you know, involved with GAA people on a night like that. Is it because the GAA now is going to another level?
I'd say, Tim, a lot of it would be, we have a new generation now, and it's all influencers, and the young kids are all following these guys. No, it does.
Ambrose is an influencer, Ambrose, and he Ambrose, wasn't there.
Yeah, but if Ambrose went on social media, he'd probably have a couple of million followers. But unfortunately, he's not. But and of course, one press of a button for these guys when they put up a video, there's millions of people watching it.
And that's why it makes it interesting.
And that's why the GAA, and not only GAA, there's big companies using these people, and that's why we see so many of them now, because they are making money out of it as well. So it's a business now, and that's the way it's going.
Is the GAA changing at pace, John? When we look at the All-Stars, we look, and it's going to cue me up nicely for my question after, that are we gone away ahead at the elite level where the grassroots, the man that puts out the bins every weekend in the local club, all these, and that's one thing I like to sing off the hymn sheets, is that all these guys, you know, came through their clubs. If you get on a Kerry team, it first with your first kick of a ball inside in your own pitch in your own club, is there a big gap developing?
There's a huge gap, Tim, and I think the gap is going to get bigger, because it's a professional game now in all but name. To be fair, the commitment these guys are giving, you know, the levels of fitness, the strength and conditioning that goes in, it's incredible, and we're only tipping in the iceberg. We are not inside, and we don't know what's going on. But you can see them on All Ireland quarter final, semi final, and final day. You can see the difference between the top teams and the teams in the middle and the lower levels. There's a huge gap: physicality, power, strength, and football. Of course, you need it, but it's the work that's going in, and I think that you know, the injuries. You look at Kerry this year, the injuries they had. But the guys in the backup that came in, they were up to the standard. That tells an awful lot about what's being done inside. Because normally, if you're missing six or seven players, well, maybe three or four coming in would do the job, but there might be two or three more that wouldn't be just up to it. But the lads that played this year, you named Sean O'Brien, you named Mark O'Shea earlier on, they came in and took up. Did we miss our midfielders? I mean, to say you didn't miss Dermot O'Connor, that's a huge statement. But we won in All-Ireland without him.
And I suppose that makes it true. I'll go back and relate to some years back. There was an event down here in Kerry, and there was one of the Longford representatives down here of the county board, and his point was that it's very difficult to raise money for the likes of Longford. I think they had a golf classic in Dublin where they put 6 months of effort into organising it, and they ended up with €150,000. And today's, I suppose, calculations, that is very small. It's very small money, where other counties are, you know, have big, big sponsors. And I suppose there are similarities, Liam, isn't there, with clubs then? We'll talk about junior clubs in a while, but the elite clubs in Kerry, we see the backroom teams of teams that are to the latter end of our own championship here. They're huge.
I suppose, Tim, it's the brand. Like, Kerry are a brand now. You know, that's the way Kerry have gone. It's huge. And look, the game is all but professional, only a name, really. Mm-hmm. Like, everything is between dietitians and medical teams and recovery teams. There's, like you said, you see the backroom teams and stuff like that, and the effort the players are putting in. Like, their life is on hold, you could say, from next month on until hopefully again July next year. You know, so and that's the way. And in just listening to all the interviews from the lads as well, you could see they really are focused. It's my first year in a long time. listening to interviews like Sir David and Paddy and other guys that have been interviewed, not saying that they're really looking forward to the year starting again. So no, that board's great. But getting back to your question, it is a massive business now, Tim. It's a business. So no, and unfortunately, in business, you have the lower counties, but the likes of Kerry, the Dublins, they're a brand and they can generate money themselves because they're such a big brand.
Absolutely great stuff. We're now about to take our first break of the evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
And like with a hurling award, two All-Ireland champions and one from the runners-up have been nominated for Footballer of the Year.
We mightn't have been going maybe as well as we would have liked at some stage. Going to play the Armagh game, they were probably the form team at the time, but I suppose it was the perfect game for us because we were either going to put in a performance and beat them or get put out of our misery in one sense. So it was brilliant the way the year finished for us, and it kind of all came right at the time that we hoped and needed.
There's a goal chance, surely! Who else but David Clifford?
You know you're going to be tightly marked, as every inside forward is, so you just try and get to know the player you're going to mark in the lead up to the game and see maybe if there's weaknesses or areas that you can get at them. You don't really set out to win like individual awards, but it's nice to be going to the All-Stars with a big Kerry contingent always when you've been involved in a final, particularly when you've won.
Three Football of the Year awards, that's what happens, would be unbelievable.
Yeah, that'd be nice for sure, we'll see.
History in the making now, three-time player of the year, the great David Clifford.
Never in doubt, really. Gaelic football's phenomenal talent. Now 26 years of age and 7 years a Kerry senior. He's achieved so much. Twice an All-Ireland winner. An astonishing scoring record, all of twos. 22 goals, 222 points in the championship. And now, Footballer of the Year, for the third time in 4 years, David Clifford, Footballer of the Year.
Yeah, absolutely great stuff. And I love the line there about David Clifford, the great David Clifford. And John, just before we touch on our divisional championships, and we mentioned him already, but David Clifford, and we might chat about it later on about players, the exodus of players, up and coming players to Kerry, and he's the man that stayed around. But I suppose he's the most marketable GAA player of all time.
Yeah, no question about it, Tim. It's incredible, really. When you look at all the last number of years, club and county, wherever you go, he's swarmed. We were in Aston Stack Park, Liam and myself. Paddy was injured for the East Kerry. And, you know, David was swarmed immediately after the final whistle. But then they realised it was Paddy with a hoodie coming across the field. And it was something to behold, really. But you must give credit to all the Kerry players, but to David in particular. Continuously, I read something that they were down at the Dogs and he spent so long taking selfies and talking to people, signing autographs. That can get very monotonous, you know. It's okay for a week or a month, but this is ongoing. But he's a fantastic model for the GAA and for Kerry, and we're so lucky to have him. He's a great product to have.
He's 26 years of age, Tim. He's playing the senior level 7 years and he has 6 All-Stars. Like that just shows you what, yeah. And three players of the year,
and probably
he's been playing 7 years, and like he hasn't hit his peak at all yet, and that's the frightening thing about it. That if we can keep all these guys injury free, you know, I think the Kerry management would have a massive hand to play.
And he never played county league with Fossa.
Never played county league. Yeah, but that's
the price he pays.
That's
for
the price how, would be. Yeah,
the price
yeah. And I think yeah, and I, that's the price of a lot of inter-county players and clubs now in the future is going to happen.
Our county championship is over, John, and well done, by the way. I haven't been on air since, but in relation to Dingle, well done to the Dingle team. And, well, they've been waiting quite a long time, and now they represent us in Munster. John, can we talk about our divisional championships? And I love to highlight divisional championships because there's guys that work so hard to keep divisions alive, be it in East Kerry, South Kerry, West Kerry, North Kerry, and even the towns here, Tralee Town Championship, if you want to, for want of a better word. It's great to see it up and running, but we're at the final stages now. We've a West Kerry final next weekend, where I'm going to take on Castle Gregory. This means so much to those two clubs.
Yeah, these are the All-Irelands in the districts, Tim, really. And, you know, every team, no matter what division in the county league you're in or what position you have in the district, you'll always be looking forward to the draw for the championship. And you go around the county to all the district finals or semi-finals. And the pride, the presentation, you've been there doing several games, the presentation and just the commitment that's given. And, you know, there's a lot of talk over the last number of years that the district championships might go or that they'll be diluted in some way. I hope it doesn't happen because I think that they're the grassroots of our association. And I know from North Kerry, new chairman Eamon Whelan, we're at the final of the championship and it's gone seamless. You know, the games are going ahead, great crowds, some surprises, but that's happening all over the county. And I think that we all have pride in our own championship, and I hope they continue, because you know if they don't, there's talks about county players not playing in whatever, but that's the All Ireland in the district.
Liam, and that's the point I was making. I know you were referencing you know, the top elite counties, maybe the five or six, and down to the, you know, the lesser known counties are the ones that probably don't go to the business end of the All Ireland series, but. My point is in Kerry as well that, you know, don't no difference to the man beside you on your own club, Cora and John's SD, that there's so much work in those clubs to keep the GAA alive. And they suffer, teams even in the lower clubs suffer because they could have players in with the county. It's very hard to get a balance right, but you have to hand it, as John said, they're getting the crowds, they're getting right. There's rivalry there. There's a severe lack of numbers with some clubs now. Is it important that, be it our own county board or in general, that we focus in and to help those clubs, to keep them alive? Otherwise, the GAA's in its amateur status will die.
Yeah, Tim, look, we were talking about 35 in the county players there, but there's hundreds of club footballers, you know, and they need to be playing these competitions. You know, it, like John said, this is their All-Ireland. You know, there's a very slick few that can go on and wear the Kerry jersey, but like playing either in an East Kerry final, North Kerry final or any district final is a huge achievement for any player. And I think, look, I'd be the same as John. I'd be very, you know, very pro your districts, because like I'm seeing now already. I can remember just back to Cora this year. Now I know they're about player burnout and all this, but Cora had played very little games. They were knocked out of the championship early, so they had 10 or 11 weeks without any football. So those players aren't burned out. So much so that I met one young fella and he had a cut in his face and I was blaring. I said, what game were you playing? And he said, I took up soccer because there was no football for a good few weeks. You know, so that's why we need this to keep the grassroots player playing the football.
And is there a problem down the road, John, do you think? And I know we're going to mention, you know, these games that are happening next weekend and the weekend after. Is there a problem down? You come from a club where you've said it to myself several times that you're struggling for numbers. Is there a fix for that?
It's difficult to know, Tim, you know, but I think that it's very easy to say, you know, you amalgamate, you lose your identity. I know out at home, like the lads in the committee, like they're doing massive work. A walkway being done around the pitch at the moment, new floodlighting, top-class pitch being provided. And you'd say to yourself, will we have a team? But I think that's important to keep it going. And I think we'll speak about it later on. Some of the clubs, a lot of clubs are hit by it now. It was a few before. But in every district now, there's clubs struggling with numbers. It goes in cycles. You know, it's been much publicised about the kids going to national school and starting. The future is bleak, but I think the association was set up to create a playing environment in every parish in Ireland. I think that's very important. And it mightn't have the same effect for young people. They mightn't have the same affinity, or they mightn't have the same pride, but I think it's hugely important to have the game above on the pitch on a Sunday or a Saturday for the older generation to drive up or be driven up and to watch their own lads pulling on the jersey. I think that's very important.
And Liam, this was all fine 30, 40 years ago when, fair enough, you were playing basketball and you were fortunate enough to be able to play at the highest level. But there wasn't too many sports pulling from the GAA. But now with a young fella growing up, there's sun up, there's social media, there's other things.
They change world, all right.
It's a change world.
Yeah.
And that's the, I suppose that's one of the barriers.
Yeah, and you just got to make it attractive. You know, you can't be putting barriers in front of players. Then if they want to play, like there's only so many times a young fella can go out training. He needs games, no. And it's you got to produce them games. And like John said, I see, you know, every day as well. You know, their clubs numbers are getting scarce. You know, but you still have to look after the players that you have. And keep going, because if you start joining all the groups up, what you're going to do, you're going to start losing players, because what happens is you're going to pick the best in the pot then, and then you're going to lose. Maybe that could have been in 5 or 6 or 10 years' time a great chairman or a great secretary. They could end up walking away from playing football because they get sour. You know, so there's a balance there. You've got to keep everyone happy, and I think the only way you can do that is in your own club.
Exactly, that's where it starts. And we might just quick word on the West Kerry final. Dingle went down yesterday to pretty gallantly, to see to an Gaeltacht side. They're probably getting very close to Dingle as well. I'm sure they're going senior after winning the intermediate championship. They're going to Munster now. So what it's set up is Castle Gregory against Ungoyatuk, and that's on next weekend in Lisbowl. Before we mention Ungoyatuk, but great for Castle Gregory. Serious players like Keane O'Grady he's hitting the big numbers, and a man that's been involved, as you mentioned earlier, Liam as well, Tomás O'Donnell. They have a number of players and a number of season campaigners as well. So again, they can go in with hope.
There's no doubt. It's a huge day for Castle Gregory and for Gaeltacht, you know, in a different way. But like, it just goes to show that when it comes down to that, you know, the tribal warfare at local level is brilliant to see. And you know, Gaeltacht are gone senior, they're on to a Munster campaign. But Castle Gregory, we'll have one cut at it, like, you know, and that's what it's all about.
And rivalry brings
and
you closer.
Rivalry, oh, it's brilliant to see.
And I suppose Dingle have dominated West Kerry with a number of years.
So for eight in a row.
So there's a West Kerry medal up here for grabs for either team. You know, so
not by tradition, it's not to be scoffed at either.
Exactly.
So you would expect on Gaeltacht, you know, they're on a run into Munster. And I suppose it probably, with all due respects to Castle, it'll probably give a chance to their extended panel as well, because they'll be watching the week after, because they're out against, is it the Clare champs?
Corrifin.
Yeah. So it'll be a very interesting final next weekend. Moving to East Kerry, Liam. Mm-hmm. Crokes are always there. I think they're taking on Spaw. They're a semi-final stage.
Yeah, you're at two semi-finals. You've Spaw and Crokes and Rathmore and Kilmare. Two very tasty games. I suppose, look, everyone is probably looking at the Crokes at the moment with what happened to them, that they didn't qualify for Munster, and look, they would have been training away, obviously, in the background. And I suppose
something about an O'Donoghue Cup.
They will relish this. Like, this is something now that you will see Crokes. But then again, you throw Rathmore into the mix and Kilmare now as well. Yeah. And Spaw had a decent enough hole. They had a massive win against South Kerry in the county championship. So the local derby there again, you just never know. And that's the one good thing about the districts, John, that the local derbies, given day, any team could beat anyone.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Forum goes out the window, really.
So they're too interesting, and it'll be interesting final, no matter who comes out of there as well. Mid Kerry, John, Milltown and Beaufort.
Yeah.
Again, Milltown probably got some tough results, or coming off tough results in the last couple of years. But the Mid Kerry, especially after Mid Kerry, you know, being at the business end of the county championship, I'm not sure if he'll be playing, but Mike Breen led Beaufort, serious players, against an up and coming Milltown Castlemaine side.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Again, I suppose one of the results of the round earlier on was Cremorne beating Ginbeg. It didn't happen for him against Beaufort, but that's a learning thing as well. But Beaufort will have been disappointed with the intermediate championship, you know, playing so well. And there's silverware up for both teams now. Like you said, Milltown, few tough results, you know, but they're back in the Mid-Kerry final. That's the bragging rights in the district. A great affair, to look forward to. You would say Beaufort, but you couldn't rule out Milltown either.
And it's amazing what a team brings out in a local derby, or be it your own divisional championship. They can play outside of, I suppose, any game they played in the league, or even the county championship, as in their different categories, junior, premier or intermediate. It's just something about having the bragging rights in your own district.
Oh, it is. And you see, you take Sean O'Brien and Mike Breen there. I'm not saying this is what happened, but generally what happens is there's a guy in the opposition team and he'll relish the challenge to be up against these guys. And, you know, that's what keeps it going, and that's what the edge is about in divisional championships. You want to have a go at the county man. You want to take him on and say, yeah, I did this or I did that. And that's what whets the appetite.
And that leads me on to, I suppose, North Kerry, Liam. You've been a man. First of all, I'll ask you, you were involved in Brosna. You got him to final, didn't you?
We did. We got to final, yeah.
But
yeah.
It's such a difficult, and I know John will probably be the most experienced of all, knowing what happens in North Kerry, but it's a beautiful place to be, but if you go there and lose, it's not very tasty, is it?
Yeah.
But it's so difficult to win.
Oh, it's very difficult to win, because any team that goes into the Het in North Kerry really can win it at the start of the year. I found that the year I was outside. And you know what it is, and John will probably say, it's a kind of a carnival as well. Not huge crowds show up. We'll always remember when the North Kerry finals were played at Christmas week.
Yeah.
And the crowds that used to be coming to it. And it's the same thing at the moment. There's huge crowds. And I suppose the fairy tale at the moment is not Knockaigle. No, they're after a big win again the weekend. So they're after beating Desmond's, Brosna and St Sennans, and now they're in the final against Listowel, which is, it's unheard of. So that just shows you what can happen if you get a bunch of guys together and get a bit of belief and get a few wins and momentum. You never know.
And you're speaking about Knock, like in 1971, the Castleton District League was disbanded. So Knockaigle and Castleton played in the North Kerry board competitions the following year, and the club maintained its status in a very competitive Division 3. So Brosna and Knock in the early 70s together. But then in 1979, and I think there was a social, it was called the Manhattan. You'd remember that.
Manhattan,
it's now Barangaray House. The late father, Bob Walsh, he was mad into his Gaelic football. He says it's probably time for Knock and Brosna to go their separate ways, because they had the numbers to go on team. So,
the treaty was this.
But thanks to Dan Nelligan, of course. Dan was a captain and raised a cup during that period as well. And I was speaking to Dan, very proud Knockaigle man. And I'd know the lads and been involved with the lads over the years, but even during the 80s, John and Ute have played against them as well. You know, the likes of the Mikey Brosnans of this world, Jack O'Connell, Sean Mack, who has two sons currently on the team. And even before that, some great players with Knockaigle. And they never reached the promised land. But for a club that's what we're going to, I suppose, have in a couple of weeks, or it's 2 weeks' time. For a club that's never been in a North Kerry Championship final, it's a great flagship for smaller clubs. I covered a game the last day, and I said the emotions outside the dressing room after Sean Mack, he was in tears, because he's the guy that tried his utmost best, like any other player that play with Knock, to get him to a North Kerry final.
Yeah, it's special, Tim, and you mentioned the last day I played in a National League game up in Ballinascreen, and all Knockaigle full back line, Jack Connell, Mikey Brosnan, Naaman Welch. I mean, Sean Mack was one of the best forwards in the county for many years, but I think it's a testament to the work that they're doing there. You know, we've come across them, we've had a fair few battles over the years, you know, but numbers tight, was it 18 players they tugged out at the weekend? It's not about quantity, it's about what you have inside the jersey. And there's some great people involved there, and like Shane Connell is training that team and has been for many years. Great coach, great trainer. He's playing himself in the middle of the field. Jack, the father, is a selector. Niall Welch and Danny Welch. These guys, like, they're passionate men about Knockaigle, and they kept going. The club, BM and Welch and the Herald Hayes, look, and Dan Nelligan and all these guys over the years, like Noel Brosnan, they battled away when things were going badly. Could anybody see them getting to an North Kerry final this year when the draw was made? I don't think so. Did people see them beating St Sennans? I don't think so, but they did. And listening to your report on Saturday, it was 1-2 to no score after 10 or 12 minutes. I think you said you couldn't see where were they going to get the scores from. They kicked 8 in a row, unanswered points, and they took it on. But they have young fellas. They've been involved with yourselves and the Kearns. They have no inhibitions. You know, if they miss one, they'll go again for the next one. That's what it's all about.
Thanks, John. Now we'll take the next break of the evening. Of course, if you have any comments to make or you at any of those games the weekend, please do not hesitate in contacting us. You can call us on 066 712 3666 or text or WhatsApp on 083 300 3300.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
You're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Tim Heinen sitting in for Ivan Hurley this evening, and we're chatting district championships. And just before we leave the Knocknagoshal Listowel Emmets scenario, Liam, you know what it's like to play these teams. I suppose Listowel Emmets are raging hot favourites.
Yeah, well, there'll be a bit of pressure on Listowel now, Tim, without a doubt, even though they'll be trying to keep us low-key in the dressing rooms. But no one has expected Knocknagoshal to get this far. And an underdog is a dangerous dog to be coming into a game. And I think, yeah, everyone will still expect Listowel, you know, to get over the line. But at the way Knocknagoshal are going, I'd be very weary, because we know a lot of these young fellas. You know, Cahill and Jack McKellar get there. Jack Brosnan and these guys, fantastic footballer. The Bells, you know, the Welshes, who have all them. So if they hit a day where they can hit all their notes, they'd be very hard to beat.
And John, I think it was 13 of the players under 25 that lined out for Knock.
Yeah, it just goes to show, like, the talent coming through. And as I said, Tim, they haven't.
But it's not in big numbers, John.
It's not in big numbers. Yeah. That's the thing.
But what's inside the white lines?
Well,
that's what it's about, like, the 15. And it just goes to show, it's all about attitude.
That's it.
You can be whinging about numbers, and you can be going on, and players can be going on, oh, we need 20, 25 training, we need what? Look, if you have the guys that are there, 18, 20 players, and they're committed, you have good guys around them, I can tell you, you can do anything. But Listowel will be favourites. But, like, you know, the Eddie Healy's and the George O'Grimes's and all these guys, they're going to be, they'll have to be on their guard. Their performances in the Intermediate Championship this year, you know, it went down to the game at Kilcumin, very unlucky. When they were ahead, they lost it. So if that form goes through, Listowel will be favourites, and rightly so. But you'll write off Knocknagoshal at your peril. It's out in Brosnan at the final. Huge crowd there. It's how you adapt to the conditions, how you adapt to the pressure going in, and all the pressure will be on Listowel. They're favourites.
We'll turn up anyway. Sure, look, you wouldn't let the Knockery Championship.
Can't take the Knocknagoshal men out of Knocknagoshal. Can I look at them? Yeah.
But we wish. I have to wish Knock the very best, and I'm delighted.
You're one of their own.
Even to speak to Dan Nelligan today, the joy, and this man has soldiered on the, I suppose, the executive side of the club, and likewise as a player, and his brother David. I remember years ago playing with him out in my van, and you know, the history of Knocknagoshal, and it's great. I saw something special the last. And it was delighted, and it was pretty emotional outside the dressing room after. We mustn't forget as well, John, South Kerry.
Yep.
South Kerry Championship, and it's one of the championships that we've covered with the last number of years. A very proud traditional championship, no different when they come all together, all those clubs, and represent South Kerry in the county championship. It's one that they like to have the bragging rights down there as well.
Yeah, they're an amazing group down there. It can be so competitive, and then when they put on the South Kerry jersey, they're all won. The two semi-finals, St Mary's against St Michael's Filemore, Skellig Rangers against Waterville. You know, they're two great games to look forward to as well. You know, the Mary's, I suppose, Brian Sheehan leading them in goals, dictating a lot of the things that's happening, kick-outs, frees and stuff. St Michael's Filemore have a younger outfit. You know, hard to call that one. As they say, they'll probably get advantage to the town team. But, you know,
Filemore. I was blowed Filemore in our game. So it was 2 weeks ago. And there was a huge crowd at it. You know, fantastic atmosphere. But,
and again, it's a kind of a carnival. It's no different to Knock or the other divisional areas.
And Filemore gave a performance, and, you know, against the Breeze in the second half. You know, just they just dug in, and there was blood. There was everything you could ask for, Tim, on the field.
Lots of sweat and tears.
And it was a great win for him. So that's going to be an interesting one now, St Mary's and Filemore.
And I think it's time to check in with ourselves in general. I know we get carried away with the euphoria of Kerry winning All Irelands, but there's something special about clubs, small clubs, and keeping the game alive, because any of our current Kerry crop would be nowhere without their club. That's where it starts, and we say it's a kind of a nursery stroke, same with the college's football, but it's so important, and I admire people that go year after year winning nothing just to keep the club alive.
Yeah. And one thing I liked him was even going down to that game was I was looking at ex-Kerry Miners that I remember from three or 4 years ago or 5 or 6 years ago. Matched like some match with Sullivan, these guys, you know, that I had forgotten about. And next thing he appeared that's in front brilliant. Of me and I said, this guy still has it. You know, that kind of way. But and I think that's what's really enjoyable about this, these competitions, that you can go whatever district you want, you can sit down and you are going to get entertainment.
Lads, I want to finish tonight to talk about the exodus of players. And I know, I suppose, well documented over the last number of weeks, the Ben Murphy signing for a club in Australia. We all know about the fairy tale of Mark O'Connor coming back, winning a county championship. John, is there any way of, like, I think I started the programme, we were chatting about David Clifford, that he stayed here, he's now the most marketable footballer of all time. How can you, I suppose, first of all, it's communication. You have to talk to players, talk to players' families. But can we compete with what Aussies can, I'm not saying on money terms, but to make it appealing to be a footballer in our county?
I think the simple answer is, Tim, no, you can't really. If you're given an opportunity of going out for a professional game, your education looked after, the lifestyle out there, it's a huge opportunity. And like we were, the GAA family were dealt a huge blow when Ben Murphy and young MacDonald in Mayo, they left. Cool. This MacDonald was a real class act. He's a fella, he'd probably have hurt a lot of inter-county teams, but they are the guys you want to go to see to play. They are the people you go through the turnstiles and pay the money to see these guys playing. Ben Murphy, huge loss. Young fella in the middle of the field for Stax, 3 points in a county final alongside Joe, under the county man. His runs, his balance, it has all been said about him, but he's gone and, you know, he's a huge loss.
And obviously there's a continuous, I suppose, search by the Aussies definitely have scouts in our country.
Oh yeah,
be it the Irish or be it the Australians. There are some, because and I know that the social aspect of now, or social
everything
media,
everything's televised now.
Everything is televised, yeah. And I remember I think Killian Burke, who we lost, a big player we lost last year as well. That he taught me, he was one of those guys that didn't go to, you know, those trials in Dublin. He, like I say, he was bought off a camera, yeah. In the sense they saw what he was doing for Kerry because all the games were shown. It's difficult in that. It's not we're trying to hide the players from them, but we're seeing, I think Kerry is probably being hurt more than anyone. And we've such a pool of talent coming up at the moment. You're trying to keep a player under wraps and his family. Well, I suppose one half of his family would have come from your side of the corner, and now he's out in Cordell. He's another player they'll be watching.
Tis, Tim. But it is very hard because, look, like we said at the start of the show, it's an amateur organisation, all but name, you know. It's a professional organisation, the GAA, all but name, you know. So you can't keep a young fella here then. I know you can say you could offer him X, Y and Z in a college and stuff like that, but they're offering away more, their lifestyle, the whole lot. And it's no more like young Sargent there, who was capped, was it last weekend or the weekend before, for the Irish under 18 rugby team. No, so he was our Kerry minor centre back last year. So obviously he's going to go down a different path as well. No, the way I look at it is that, right, we lost Liam Kearney going to New York a few years ago. They go working and stuff like that. So it's hard, Tim. I don't know how they're going to solve it. I know they're looking for a kind of maybe a few pounds for the clubs or that, but how, when there's no paperwork and when it's not a professional game, it's very hard to do that. So this might be a push for the GAA to turn things a small bit towards the professional game in the next couple of years, because it's coming more and more and it's coming closer and closer.
And should there be financial reward for clubs, John?
Yeah, I suppose, Tim.
Stroke County Board as well. There's a lot of thrown through academies.
The question here, does Hurton Kerry, is the player going? Does it really matter if the clubs get a few bob? Because he is going. He's going anywhere.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it's a club would take with their with their two hands, as they say. But I think the picture is, we have a fantastic structure in Kerry, coaching and games development, great coaches,
schools,
clubs, the quality people in clubs, getting guys ready. Getting him up to the level, strength and conditioning, getting him into Kerry minor team, Kerry under 20s, and then suddenly they're carried away. Like, it's frustrating, but what can you do? I don't think anything can be done about it unless our game here is professional and we can give them something on a level, which I don't think will happen. And if that's the case, they're going to go.
So interesting times ahead. And
there's a lot of other players out there, Tim, that we could be looking after as well. No, you're losing one or two out of maybe a pool of 40 or 50 players. So I'd be looking down along the line as well. Get back to the Orne, the say Kerry Minor or Kerry under 20, maybe look after him for a job. You're always going to have the elite. The elite will always go, either whether it's playing basketball or playing rugby or playing soccer. They'll always be picked. Like David Clifford, for instance, could have been playing soccer just as quick as he could have went to Australia. Because he was that, he's an elite. You know, so we... There's a lot of arguments for it.
A lot of arguments. And thanks a million tonight, lads. We could continue this discussion. But coming up later, we have the Champions Under Lights, and we'll be speaking to Dylan Quirk's dad. We go to our next break, our next week of the evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Breaking down the weekend's sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
You're very welcome back to our second hour of Terrace Talk this evening. Tim Einin is sitting in for Ivan Hurley. Those comments coming through to us. One comment says, if you go playing in Australia, you should not be allowed to come back and play with your club. It's unfair on the players that stay at home. And I suppose that's a very debatable statement, but everyone has their own view on it. Should professional players play the amateur game? Well, now we'll move on to another topic. It's Champions Under Lights, and Feathertown Park will host a special doubleheader on Saturday the 13th of December in aid of the Dylan Quirk Foundation. The event, called Champions Under Lights, brings together All-Ireland champions from both codes for an evening of top-level GAA action and community support. The fundraiser honours the late Dylan Quirk, who died of sudden adult death syndrome, SADS, in August 2022. The Dylan Quirk Foundation works to raise awareness of SADS and the fund cardiac screening for young people aged 13 to 17 involved in sport. And I'm delighted this evening to be joined by the late Dylan's dad, and that's Dan Quirk. A very good evening to you, Dan.
Good evening, Tim.
And welcome to Terrace Talk. Dan, my first question to ask, how are you and your family doing? Because it's been a tough few years. I know a huge legacy left by your late son, but how are you doing from day to day?
Sure, Tim. Well, we're doing the best we can, I suppose. For me personally, being involved in the foundation, setting up the foundation, as you said, to raise awareness about sudden adult death syndrome, it's a huge solace for me personally, because I suppose it keeps the mind focused. While for my wife, Hazel, and my two daughters, who are not in the limelight as much, I think they're rather adapt for, you know, to deal with their grief in their own way. We all deal with grief differently, and it can hit you like a tsunami, to be honest. But look, from day to day, we take every day as it comes, and we do our best. And the fact that we're helping other parents and other children, and we're saving lives, it does make a big difference to me.
And Dan, do you get that strength from somewhere? I know, like you say, everyone has a different grieving process. Everyone deals with things differently. I suppose time is a great healer. But did you get strength from somewhere else to go off and do what you're doing at the moment and organise such an events and being involved and try to promote awareness?
To be honest, that's a hard question, Dan. I do feel that Dylan is always by my side, and I'd say, you know, some way he seems to be pushing me to keep on doing this. When we started the foundation, we really didn't know where we were going with it. Obviously, we were unaware of sudden adult death syndrome when Dylan passed away, but obviously we've gained a lot of information since through screening and through just finding out exactly why young kids, it happens to the fishes of young kids. Like Dylan was 6'2", 13.5 stone, 5 or 6% body fat, in the top three of all Tipperary actives of training. So it's really difficult to understand how it hits these young people, both boys and girls at that age. But look, we got stuck into it as awareness, first of all, and then we just started screening, because we found out that they started initially 20 years ago and they've brought down the death rate by 89%. So in quite a quick frame of time, we found that screening was the best way possible to help young kids and save lives. And we started that about 22 months ago, in January of 2024. And to date, we have screened nearly 20,000 young kids. And look, we've saved many lives, and we're delighted about that. And we're also delighted to say that we've screened in every county in Ireland, which is amazing, really. But for that to happen, you're depending on fundraisers, because we don't get any money from the government. but we've raised over 2.5 million, and that's from the great foundation, the work that's been done all over the country in different fundraisers. We've quite a bit done in Kerry with Life to Say, a lot of screening and some great fundraisers, and they're happening all over the country, and this one coming up on the 13th of December, I think it'll be a cracking occasion to have the All-Ireland champions in both codes and have a great Limerick team and our own Tipperary footballers. So look, we're really looking forward, and it'll be a great night.
And Dan, do you feel, and I, like on a personal note for you, do you feel that this is Dillon's legacy as well, that like you're carrying on something that needs to be done, but suddenly a loss of life has presented you with that in the set, in the sense that it motivates you to I suppose help other people, and I suppose prevention is better than cure?
Absolutely. Look, it will be a beautiful legacy for Dillon. I mean, obviously our long term goal is a scenario where people would have to opt out of screening. So we're working with a company in the States called Who We Play For. So a young 18-year-old died 8 years ago, and they set up their own foundation. And in Texas and Florida now, it's an opt-out scenario, so you have to be screened unless parents decide they don't want a child to be screened, and they opt out. The word mandatory was mentioned for a long time, but I don't think with legislation and government it's probably possible, but we would like to see sporting bodies making it mandatory. And I guess that's why I started doing it, was something told me something needs to be done here with this, because young people shouldn't be losing lives. And amazingly, an awful lot of people are unaware of sudden adult death syndrome. You'd think they wouldn't be, but they are. But thankfully, with all the work we've been doing, the word is out there now, and we've clubs from various different sports calling us every day to be screened. But the good thing about it is I get plenty of phone calls from parents thanking us for setting up the foundation and doing the screening, because we have saved lives. So it's a long-term thing. It will be a beautiful legacy, as you say, to Dillon, and somebody had to do it. And look, no one knows what's in front of them, but we decided to take this on now, and it has been very successful, and it does help my grieving process possibly, you know. And as I said, what's better in life than helping your friends and neighbours and helping your communities to make life better for other people? And that's what we've decided to do.
Dan, is there a political element there, or an angle even, that, you know, this must be more forceful, anything to do with health or anything that sounds danger ahead for any young person, an old person, that politicians have to get behind this as well? As you said, that word compulsory, it normally comes from government, doesn't it?
It does indeed, and look, in the background, we're working away with some TDs and ministers, so we are working that way. They're all obviously aware of it, but you know, when you start trying to lobby government, things get very difficult, and at the moment, we're not lobbying government, but we're going to make sure we have enough stats that when the time is right to meet with government and TDs and senators, that we're ready. And, you know, you can't argue against stats, and we have great stats at the minute. Like, to be honest, one in 300 between 13 and age of 17 have a non-diagnosed heart issue. So that's a big, big number. Like, so the average secondary school would have 600 kids. So two of them, 600, have an undiagnosed heart issue. And I said, you've got to make parents aware, you know.
That's absolutely frightening. Do you feel you're outside of, we mentioned politicians, but in general, do you feel the support is actually gathering? You mentioned that most counties in the country are becoming aware, but still people just, I won't say ignore, but you've kids going every day, going training, involved in games. What else can be done, Dan, to promote the awareness?
Well, as I said, every parent needs to know that there are issues out there with the heart. And I suppose we all want our kids playing sport. We all love our kids playing sport, and particularly team sports. But if you take hurling for argument's sake, you have to go and buy a helmet. And I'd say a cost of a helmet could be a couple hundred euros. The footballers, rugby players, they buy boots, they buy gum shields. Like, you'll get your heart screened for 100 euros. And to me, the heart is the most important organ in the body. And that doesn't work correct, we're all in trouble, as you know. So that's what you've got to start with. And but that's what we're aiming to do. It's getting information out there. Information awareness is as important as fundraising. But scanning does, or sorry, excuse me, not scanning, but heart screening does work. And you detect 90% of issues there. So, and again, that's where we're heading to, and that's what we want people to understand and to know.
That's very solid advice, Dan. Tell me about your event anyway. It's great to see a Kerry team playing in the middle of December night. No different to the opposition, and likewise hurling, Dan.
Yeah, look, it's great. At 4 o'clock in Feathertown Park, Kerry will play Tipperary, and Sam McGuire will be there and be available for pictures if families want to go. At 6 o'clock, Tipperary, the All-Ireland champions in hurling, will play Limerick. Dilly McCarthy will also be there. So look, we'll have four great teams. It'll be hopefully it'll be a lovely evening. Fetter Town Park has spent $6 million on a beautiful facility. So if anybody hasn't seen it, I urge them to go and see it. It's exceptional, to be honest. And the event is being run by Eventbrite, so tickets can be got on Eventbrite, or they can get them on the Fetter Town Park website or our own website, info@dillonquirkfoundation.com. And we'd urge people from all over Kerry, Limerick, and Tipperary to be here. It'll be a great night, but tickets are limited, so if people are interested, we'd urge them to get them soon.
And Dan, we've, I suppose, learned over the past number of years that high-profile players around the country have, be it shared it in social media, have been very good in the effort with Dillon's name. It's like it's a household name in the country, in every county, and I'm sure, and your hope. What would you be saying to people tonight? I'm sure there's parents out there and maybe young people listen to our programme. What's your advice directly to them?
I tell you, it's quite a simple bit of advice. No matter what sport you play, I would urge parents to go to the management, go to the clubs, whatever sport it is, and just tell them that you want your child to be screened. That's all it is. The advice is as simple as that, and force clubs and organisations into screening, because as I said, it saves lives, and we will get 90% of issues if we get there on time. So it's a simple message. The heart is a big problem. Let's get it screened. That's what we want. Between the ages of 14 and 17, we will help a lot of kids if we can get screened. It's a simple message, and we hope that people will take it on board.
And the event, Dan, itself is supported by Clonmel Credit Union. And alongside the matches, there's a pop-up shop selling Dillon Quirk Foundation County jerseys.
That's right, county jerseys, beanos, hats, scarves, you name it. We'll have plenty of stuff there, and it'll be there on the way into the match. And as I said, Sam Maguire and Lee McCarthy will be there, so... And please God, plenty of the great Kerry footballers. You have so many of them down there, the Limerick hurlers and Tipperary. It'd be all great to sign off. So it'll be a lovely occasion for family. And please God, the weather hold up, and it'll be a great fundraiser for us.
Dan, all I can say is here, and I'm a parent myself. My heart goes out to you for losing your child. You're never supposed to lose your child, and no. The work. I take it that if he's looking down from above, he can be very proud of you and his family to carry on this. And I suppose what it does, it keeps you busy. But I'm sure he's in your mind every day of the week.
He is indeed, Tim, and thank you very much for having me on. And the best of luck to you in your show.
Thanks a million, Dan, and the very best of luck with that event. Who knows, we might be able to get up to it as well from this side of the country. Thanks a million. That is Dan Quirk, father of Dillon Quirk, the Dillon Quirk Foundation, of course, the SADS, and that's the Sudden Adult Death Syndrome. It's happening quite a lot, one in every 300, Dan mentions there, and it's something we've all got to be aware of, and we've got to support it as well, the screening. So I take the next break of the evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Very welcome back to Terrace Talk. The hours are flying tonight here on Terrace Talk, and a big thank you there to Dan Quirk and the Dillon Quirk Foundation doing absolutely great work. And now we move disciplines. We're going to speak to some players and management of MEK Galaxy under 15 girls. They played in the Barcelona Cup and did absolutely fantastic. The Football Cup Barcelona is a major international youth tournament, and I'm delighted to be joined by, first of all, the coaches we'll speak to, both Tony Harty and Nola Quigg. And ye girls, we'll get your names. I'm sure I'll make a mistake along the way because there's so many of them, and I'm seeing the next studio here to me. There's other girls looking through the glass. First of all, to you, Tony, how long has the club been in existence?
The club's been over 10 years now in existence. And it's made massive leaps and bounds, actually, in most recently with grounds and stuff like that. We've been using Astros, like a Fosso Astro and Faha Astro and stuff like that. But and then after that, the actual pitch would have been the old community pitch there in Fosso near the Golden Nugget. But that's actually taken massive changes now between changing rooms and pitches, and there's been a lot of work and a lot of investment into the grounds, which is fantastic for young players coming through to see.
And where, Tony, did that support come from for the...
Sorry?
Where did that support and beat fundraising? Nothing happens without money.
Yeah, so you got the Golf Classic and they would have had their quiz night, and you know, it's ongoing stuff. And most recently, which was great fun for the young children, would have been the Halloween disco. So Wiz fundraising is an ongoing thing all the time, and the club has been always hoping to aim to improve the grounds, and there has been massive movement on that.
I'm looking at your tops. You're fairly well kitted out. You're all looking well.
Yeah.
It's like the Armagh colours here in front of me when I look at it from a GA point of view. Nuala, I take it your involvement with the club?
Yes, yeah, yeah. I'm coaching, helping Tony with the coaching with the girls.
So. How did this all come about? A visit to Barcelona. What was the weather like there?
It was beautiful. It was great. Yeah,
nicer than here in southwest of Ireland.
Yeah, it was very nice. Now it was 22 degrees most days when we were there, so the girls had to stay well hydrated and find different temperatures in training over there and playing games as opposed to being here.
And how did this opportunity come about? That look, it, for anyone to compete, it's like an international. Well, yes. It is an international tournament. How did this all come about?
I suppose we had been speaking about it and looking up about going to the Barcelona Cup, and we had applied for it, so we got accepted then to play in the cup, and said it to the girls, and of course they were all delighted, and said it to the parents. So every parent came over as well, and siblings, and
that must have cost a lot of money, but for individuals and families and that.
Yes,
but,
yeah, we did.
I suppose the opportunity is huge to you're representing.
Yes, yeah,
both county and country.
Yeah, definitely, and the girls well deserve it. We're so lucky. We have a great bunch of girls, so we have.
Was there any success before you took the venture of going to...
Yes, yeah, we would have played in the National Cup, and we got down to...
The last 16
in the
excellent.
National
which
Cup.
Which is yes, a lot of teams involved.
Yeah, we were unfortunate. We met Piemont.
Which would be a stronghold in
very,
in
yes, yeah,
players.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
I might have a chat with some of the players. It's Ava.
Yeah.
Ava Hart. Eva, did you enjoy the whole experience of going to Barcelona?
Yeah, it was really good. It was a good experience.
And playing in those games as well. And you liked your penalties, apparently. You do it the hard way. What was the expectation for the likes of yourself going out there before any ball was kicked?
Well, it was kind of difficult to play the other teams that we never seen how they play before. So we kind of had to adapt quickly to how they play.
And was this information you knew about the other teams before you went out there?
No.
Or you just learned by watching and doing? What would they do differently to you doing a normal weekend of football?
Well, the final, they were a bit more technical team. They'd be playing around the ball a lot, and it was kind of hard to try to stop them because they were just playing them around. But, our defence was really good, so...
And
Ava,
did you enjoy that then, Ava? Because it was something different that you become a better player by looking for those things.
Yeah,
but I'm sure
good.
Tony is pretty technical, isn't he? You're ready for games like that.
Debatable.
Oh, debatable. Your question. You must have done all right. You must have done all right in the sideline. I have Grace.
Yeah.
Grace Barry. Grace, you're very welcome to Tara.
Thank
you. Is your experience the same? What were you hoping for when you left Ireland? And
I was hoping to do good, but I think we did this good because it's amazing to come out winners and yeah, it's just really good.
And I'm looking at the medals as well. You have your medals around your neck tonight. They look cool. Was that excitement getting on the plane or ready to go over there?
It started from 9 o'clock in the morning when we were getting on, and just continued to the whole holiday, 9 o'clock at night in Cork Airport.
and when all you girls together, you get all excited and joy that you're all heading off. But when did the serious stuff start then?
It kind of started when we got to the pitches and stuff, and then we kind of focused in, and we just kind of got ready for the games and stuff because we knew we wanted to do good.
And you certainly did well. And I've Isabella O'Connor. Yeah. How did you enjoy the experience?
It was amazing. It's something I'd never forget.
What position did you play?
Striker.
Did you knock in any few goals?
I got one goal on Saturday, and then I scored two penalties on Sunday.
All right, so there's confidence with you with the taking the penalties. Were you so well organised? Did you learn from game to game then, from the game and your first game out?
Yeah, well, the first game we won quite well, so we weren't really expecting to do that well the first day and the second day.
But things began to happen for you. You drew some of your games, and penalties always come into vogue. As I said to the other girls, you didn't do it the easy way.
No.
Tony, from a management point of view, what was your expectations going on? Was it just to get the girls to get experience of playing at this level.
Exactly. I think when you're playing locally, we'd be very successful locally, and which is great and all. But I do think for girls to mature and develop as players, we thought this would be a great opportunity to go abroad. Like they were saying, they weren't too sure what they'd be playing against, what type of style of play. And it really did kind of open up a different view on the actual game for them. And it's like they did it the difficult way and nearly gave us heart failure. But from the word go, the first day, first game, I was quietly surprised and happy. And I thought, no, something we could actually have
that first game. You won 3-0.
3-0
against
but
Finland.
That wasn't
Finland.
Yeah, that wasn't a team that couldn't play. But the girls and their tempo was too high, aggression and their style of play, the Finnish team couldn't deal with them. And they were dominant from the whistle to the end.
And Nuala, did you feel that you were growing into the tournament? Especially, sometimes you can get carried away with the first win. But did the girls grow into, could you see a change in the girls, perception of the game?
Yes, yeah, you could too, definitely. I suppose when we initially went over, we said, like, I suppose you look at all the other teams in the other countries and their style of training and everything, it would be, you know, they'd be very high class. And then the first game, we were like, okay, we won the first game. Do you know, we can maybe actually do this. Like, you know, we said, if we could go over and we could win one or two games, we'd be happy. We never thought that we would have got to the final and win the whole thing, because like over there, they're very, very physical and they're like would be a lot bigger than our girls and would have pushed our girls over to the, you know, they would have given them a good old hammering in the side of the pitch and everything. There would be no, and the referee allowed that. Where here, you get a little tip on the shoulder and they call the whistle, So the girls had to adapt straight away. It's like, you have to be physical.
Are we saying then that it's a huge learning curve or even to develop a player, develop a manager, when you see and experience things like that? Because you probably wouldn't, as you said, you wouldn't experience it here on this side of the world.
No, definitely. But the girls were well able. I suppose a lot of them were all GA as well, so they were able to use their physical side as well into that.
And Ava, where do you play?
Left wing.
Left wing. So you do a lot of running, hugging that sideline, sending in crosses.
Yeah.
How did you feel after winning that first game? The next game you played, was it against a Spain side?
Yeah.
TFC? With the experience of that first win, did you take it in? What were you expecting in that game against Spain?
I was kind of expecting it to be very like close. And we did get a good win, which I was shocked about, but our defence was so good that like no one could get past us.
And do you see the defence? Do they grow into the tournament as well?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, who's the star in defence? Are you going to upset somebody?
Oh,
excuse me. So it's Grace.
Yeah.
Grace, how are you the star of the defence? What qualities have you that the rest of the girls don't have?
I think we're all very similar. I think we all just like played our strengths and like we just like we know how each other plays, so we just kind of use that to like our strengths and stuff.
And do you use that communication during the game? Do you speak to each other, encourage each other?
Yeah, there's a lot of talking during the game because, like, when we kind of talk and stuff, like, it kind of, like, the other team are kind of wondering what's going to happen. So then it kind of, like, kind of scares them off in a way. So, yeah, a lot of talking is happening on the pitch.
And who's the most speediest defender you have?
Everyone, I think.
Everyone is pointing to you again, Grace. Isabel, you're doing it the easy way. You're just pointing at her. Is there a total communication between all the girls? There's an understanding when that game starts that you're all in it together and you're working for the ultimate thing and sacrificing maybe something else for sacrificing your own game at times.
Yeah, I suppose the first game we weren't really talking that much, but then we kind of grew into talking a lot and I suppose that's what helped us win.
And can you see that as a learning curve, Tony, for the girls in general? Not just in sport, but they can develop other parts of their life by experiencing this, what is needed.
Yeah, the communication and how they can actually adapt to the different levels of games. Like the varied style of games that was played was, it did throw the girls off a bit. Like the third game on the Saturday, it was very, very physical. But the girls were able to adapt, to overcome that. And they were 1-0 down at half time. They could have put their head down and said, but this is not the type of team they are. They never have been. Since I've been involved with these girls since they're 11, they never do that. They come back out and they came back fighting and they got that goal and they drew. And because of that draw, they topped the group, which brought them into the A final. And that was down to their attitude. And I do agree, stuff like that, they'll carry that for the rest of their life. That resilience. And it's very easy to give up because the team that they were playing, like there was jersey pulls, one girl got pulled in the hair, one of our players, it was stuff they don't see. And then at half time I reminded them all, you're every one of you is our GA players.
Yeah,
and correct. Let's go out and show them what the GA do.
And mix it. That's probably. The coaches will stay with me. We'll get another number of the girls in after the break. But thank you very much, girls. Of course, I had Ava, Grace, and Isabel. And the best luck in the future. Thank you very much. We take the next break of the evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
You're very welcome back here to Terrace Talk. I'm joined tonight by members of MEK Galaxy Under 15 Girls and their management team. Nuala, we were chatting before the break how the growth of individuals collectively as well for their future by way of sport. It's a lovely, I suppose, vehicle for developing as a person and as a group. How difficult it is to manage all these girls? They're at an age now where they're looking at superstars and social media. What was that like to just keep these girls in tow?
Yeah, do you know what? We were very, very lucky with these girls. From the minute we got to the airport, they had a little JBL speaker and they had the music on and they were all dancing and singing, and even on the airplane they had an all sing song. And when we got to the resort, they came in, dropped the bags, and they all went down to the pool swimming, and it was great because all the girls get on so well together.
How long were you there for?
We were there for 3 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there obviously there was a lot packed into those.
There was, yes, yeah. There was a lot of packed in. Like our games used to be on at about 2 o'clock. And so in the morning time, they all just had their own time to do their own thing. So we'd go down for breakfast. You had your set time for breakfast and everybody just had their own. We all had our own table. So everybody came down and had the breakfast and then they went away and were kicking around ball.
And how organised were you before you went over? Did you tell, obviously there have to be meeting points, obviously you're around to count for everyone. Can you imagine taking somebody's kids to another land?
Yes, yeah, but
that's a huge responsibility.
Yeah, but that's why all the parents came.
Yeah, they helped along. But in the end, it was your duty to...
Yes, yeah, but like that now, the girls just always, were always together, and even in the evening time, we'd all go for the dinner and then the girls would go away with their speaker and they'd be all singing and dancing. And then it was great actually that we used to mix with other teams, the other girls' teams, and they'd be all dancing and singing away and doing their TikToks and trying to keep the phones off the
that's social media fear. I'm joined by, well, I've new players for want of a better word. I've Megan Quigg. How are you?
Good, yeah.
You seem very shy, Megan. I've Saoirse Tehan and Avian O'Flaherty. First of all, can I ask you, Megan, the likes of Katie McCabe, at playing international level with Ireland, are players like that inspiring the likes of yourself? Do you know, we've 15-year-old, 16-year-old boys looking up at the David Cliffords of this world, the Shawnee O'Shea. Is that the same in the ladies' game?
Yeah, I'd say it is. She's a really good player.
She's a good player. Yeah. And would that be your dream one day, that this could be the foundation to go one better, maybe go to a professional club one day? Or do you think like that, or just enjoy the group you have?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Definitely is out of aspirate. What position do you play?
Centre mid.
So are you pulling? Are you the creative midfielder? So
yeah.
Are you the one with great vision, setting up the girls for scoring and attacking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're the silent assassin. I think you're so quiet, and you could be dangerous when you're on the ball. Saoirse, what position do you play?
I'm the goalkeeper.
You're the goalkeeper, and sure, you've probably played an out and outstanding role for those penalties. Did you?
Yeah.
What did you enjoy most about this run?
It was great team bonding. Obviously, these things you keep them. They're great memories.
And have you great communication with the rest of the team?
Yeah, I like to think so. Yeah.
Which one of you girls got a black eye?
Me.
Did you, Avian? Tell me that story. How did that come about? It seems it's all gone. You don't even need makeup to cover it. It's disappeared. What happened to you?
One of their midfielders gave a true ball in and my marker was behind me and she was going in, so I was in front of her. And then she put her foot in to get the ball, but I think I tripped over her foot and she left her foot in, so I hit my eye off her boot.
No tears, I take it, when you... You know, you girls, when you look in the mirror and you're saying, oh, my God, I have a black eye. You went off to play a starring role in the other games, I take it?
Yeah.
What position?
Left back.
Left back. Did this girl score one of the penalties? Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that like? In which game was that?
It was the final.
Final. And you put it away nicely?
Yeah.
So that made up. You'd have taken all the beatings in the world just to put that inside.
Yeah. What,
the whole experience with all these girls, you enjoyed it?
Yeah, it was great, like team bonding, and it just brought us closer as a team. Yeah.
And are you all good friends? The rest of the girls that are outside that window looking into us here in the studio, you're all very close. Do you go to school together? Are you going to the same school?
No.
Different schools?
No, I go to a different school.
Different schools, but it's that sort of bonding is so important as well. That from I suppose it makes you, as we said, related earlier, the experience of this trip. You could go anywhere with these girls. Have you some promising players out there, Tony?
Yeah, the future is bright with this bunch, and they're well known beyond the Kerry borders. And we have teams from Limerick, and we had a Cork team come up and want to play them because they know who they are and they know how good they are. And this is before Barcelona. They're well known, their reputation, how good they are and how strong they are. So teams like ourselves, we want to be matched up against strong teams, and others do it as well. But the bond these girls have a great, considering they're from different communities. MEK is Mid East Kerry, but you're talking Fossa, Lestroy, Middletown, Clorglen, Friaries. So they didn't grow up together.
And if these girls didn't grow, there was a good chance they wouldn't meet, but yeah. MEK Galaxy brings them all together.
Yeah, now they're a family. And one thing we've always said about this group, it feels like a family. They've been together since they're young, and they've been playing together, and they've had tough games, good games, they've had team bonding, and we have to say our chairperson in the room behind us, the woman, the brains behind the whole Barcelona Cup, and I'm sure all the girls would agree with that, Jo there, she was the one that doing all the organising.
After getting a big round of applause and signing from the other girls.
But I will have to commend the Barcelona Cup themselves as well, the organising. Once you do it from this side, you've all your work done here, over there, fantastic.
And Ula, what's your aspirations for the future?
For the girls? Yes. I think the girls there, they're going to travel on. They're going to do really, really well. I'd say we're probably, the FAI will probably steal them from us on later time, unfortunately. But I think they'll all do well, like in their future, definitely, regardless of what they decide to do.
Brilliant, sure, you're laying the foundation here, and that's what you want, sure, if you're
definitely
a player you want to.
And you know what, they're an idol to the younger team as well. Do you know, they're great girls, like with the underage as well, and the younger girls look up to them as well, so it's nice to
That's
have
all I'd say to you girls, you look very promising for the future on that. Inside those white lines, the very best of luck to all those girls tonight. I want to thank you, Tony and Nuala. We're kind of running out of time for our next slot, and we wish you the very best, and well done again, victorious in Barcelona International Tournament. You can hold that on to that forever. We take the next break of the evening.
Thank you.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Trillitalchy.
You're very welcome back here to Terrace Talk. Our time, the second hour is flying as well tonight. And it was great to speak to those girls of MEK Galaxy under 15 from the district. And they've made such great friends, and they came back with a cup from Barcelona. So well done to them. Now we change codes once more. MKL Gales Ladies Gaelic Football Club. And I'm delighted to have in studio Keith McGuigan, the club chairman. You're very welcome, Keith.
Thank you.
Mark Kennedy, coaching officer, and likewise Christine O'Carroll, a member. I'm starting with you, Christine, a member of the original team. They're saying 25 years, but I don't believe that.
Thanks, Tim. So we started back in 2000. So one of our, she's still playing as well, Lorna Hickey, asked her dad that she really wanted a team to be set up for girls. It was Middletown Lestroy back then. And he obliged, and he called a meeting, and that's how we were formed.
And what was it like back then? I'm sure things have changed, Christine. Was it difficult to get the numbers and to break into that cycle where you can have a development of, it always seems to be the boys that get, you know, to play Gaelic football. Was it difficult back then?
Yeah, it really was. Like Mike Hickey will tell you, Ger Murphy and Johnny O'Shea, they started off with us, and it was a case of them calling around the night before a game or the morning of, on a Sunday morning, bright and early, trying to get players, making sure they had enough to field a team for that game that day. So, yeah, but like where we started to where we are now, it's a huge difference. And I think that's a testament to the club itself and what we've done over the years. And then also it comes down to the actual trainers that we've had and the effort and dedication they've put into our team. Like every trainer that we've had over the years, they've set the foundation. Everyone's added their own kind of, I suppose, lasting impression on the team to keep going.
And it helps as well, Christine, to, you know, over the last couple of years, a number of players representing Kerry, and it's a fruitful time with Kerry winning 100%. The All-Ireland 2 years
ago. Yeah, well. so we've Ciara Murphy. She did step away this year, but an absolute star of the club, like... A lady on and off the field. Cuiva and Niamh are still playing. And yeah, it's great for the younger girls coming through to see them as their role models going forward. So, yeah.
And I'm sure the likes of Ciara will be back in with Kerry. I know she was doing accountancy exams and she'll only benefit the cause when she comes back. I'm talking from a county level as well.
Yeah, and I think you need that time to step away, like, and then kind of reignite your kind of, I suppose, drive for it again. Like, you know, and she gave it a number of years to Kerry, and even the lads said it when they won the All-Ireland that she was always a player they never had to worry about. She knew what she had to do. So.
That's very intelligent, I suppose, understanding of the game. Keith, how long have you been chairman of MKL Gaels?
So I've been chairman for the last 6 years.
6 years then.
Yeah.
I take a lot of enjoyment, because it's so hard now in administration or executive side of clubs. Is it difficult? And I take it you get a lot out of it as well.
It goes without saying, we have had our challenges, but it's been brilliant to see the development of the club over the last, you know, 6 years. And, you know, I suppose, along with the development of women's football in that time as well. You know, myself and Mark came onto the committee at the same time, and we were chatting about it at the time, I remember, and we had two goals. We had one goal was that we would have two teams at every level, and the other goal was that we'd be playing senior football. Now, unfortunately, we just about missed out on that the last 2 years, but, you know... It won't be long in coming, and we've gone from back 6 years ago where we were struggling to field a minor team. Damien Murphy, who was the coach at the time of the senior team, often had 12 girls at training. This year, our senior team, we had over 30 girls at training, 30 women, sorry, at training. And as I said, this year we had two minor teams, two teams at all levels.
So obviously you're heading in the right direction.
Exactly, yeah.
Mark, you're a coach and officer. I take it from that side even, the game has changed. You know, years ago they wouldn't be half the detail that there is now. I suppose coaching has gone to another level.
Yeah, we've as Christine said, we've a lot of good coaches have come on board with us. I suppose the little lads there, we'll say, but level the playing field there with Vicky Hall or Vicky Wall and stuff, has really moved on or publicised, I suppose, ladies football. So you've a lot more girls wanting to play it. Obviously the success of the Kerry ladies last year, but the two All-Irelands before that as well, would have inspired a lot of underage.
Getting to the business end of things.
Yeah. So I suppose, look, yeah, we've developed ourselves locally. I suppose we're indebted to the three local clubs as well, Milltown, Keele and Listry. We've also used the rugby field in Clargan, so a special mention to them as well. We've used their facility in their off-season as well for and training
Mark,
stuff.
Mark, is there any aspirations to have your own out-and-out owned, training pitch?
Well, that's a long-term view, but again, we'll be the three clubs locally have been very supportive of us. At the moment, look, I suppose that is a long-term view.
Do you feel there should be more done? I know you're a coach enough, but do you think there could be more done in general for not just in the county itself, but right throughout the country to make it more accessible and for young girls, no different to right through to senior teams?
Well, I suppose, the more publicity they're getting, the more and more people want to get involved in ladies sport. Like, it's probably is the fastest growing sport in Ireland at the moment, ladies football. Same as, we'll say, MEK with the soccer and whatnot. Like, it's phenomenal, the uptake. for the girls and give them their opportunity to progress as well in that chosen sport. Like, but look, we just have to take everything step by step. Really, like, it's nothing's going to be done overnight. Like, but no, it's moving on. Like, even in the papers there now, there's a lot of, we'll say, the Murphy and them are, you know, doing reports in the games, that kind of stuff as well. Like, so it's really highlighting it.
I suppose, and we've seen a lot more, Christine, you know that, a lot more girls involved in sport, be it, we mentioned soccer, we mentioned GAA. It seems to be a new generation wanting to be involved, and it's fashionable.
Yeah, definitely. Like, when we started out, there was that same, like, 8 to 10 players at every training. And then we were lucky with the group of girls that came next, that stayed with us, and then that developed further then as the years have gone on. And even this year, like, with our senior, we had a junior team, in a B team, and a lot of the girls were, like, under-17s coming through as well, and phenomenal players, like, as in just really talented, and, like, just watching them, just they look so effortless, and they were great to come on board, and that's what got us over the line for junior C this year, like, because last year in the semi-final, we were kind of short on numbers and kind of went against us at the end in the semi-final. But it was great this year to have the numbers of those younger girls coming through and supporting the senior players, like, as well. So, yeah.
And Christine, when you started out first, can you see a difference in girls, how confident they are now? It's like they're a different breed, in a nice way. I mean,
they
that
really are. Like, and even after the junior C final this year, I remember just saying, like, the talent and, like, just the head up football and the quick pass and just everything just worked. Like, and even in their own age group, you can see that they know where the person is, and it's just a quick ball, and there's no fear there, do you know?
So that's what they have naturally, but people like Mark is developing that, yeah, as well. Yeah. And think, can you see it as well, Keith, that, yeah, you know, there's a will to win. They also know the journey and what's needed, and they're very respectful even of what's needed. No different to listen to coaches, yeah, how they have to mind themselves.
Yeah, definitely, you know, and I suppose, you know, as you said, there's nearly a different breed of girls coming up now, because they've got, you know, exposed to, sport at a high level from a young age, and seeing it on the television, seeing the little lads on the television. You know, even I remember when we won the Junior A final and we were representing Kerry, you know, in Munster. I remember one of the ladies that was playing, she was working in a bar in Kiel, and she said she couldn't believe it. She was working behind the bar and there was two alphas at the counter and they were talking about women's football. And even to hear that, and even when I'm saying it now, you know, I feel a level of pride, and you know, it's just something that's brilliant to be part of. You know, to pass it on to the next generation of girls coming up, and everything is brilliant.
Mark, does that make the likes of your job easier? Because, you know, I've covered the Kerry ladies game with the last number of years, especially because they went on that journey to Croke Park, beating the National League, and likewise win the All-Ireland. Like, tactically, women can talk about the game. And that seems to be what's living inside their minds, that it's not about catching the ball and kicking it. There's, you know, there's an understanding of the game and what's needed.
Yeah. Look, we rely a lot of... No, we have a lot of good coaches within the club, and if we didn't have good coaches within the clubs, we wouldn't be able to progress underage. Like, I suppose I'd be predominantly underage myself. Like, but we rely on a lot of good coaches. There'd be both male and female coaches. But, look, we're all the time bringing more coaches on board as well, depending on the teams and whatnot.
It's been heartbreak in the club, for want of a better word, going to finals, losing, different things happen, but you've also been in existence for 25 years. I take it a celebration of 25 years is coming up. You're going to do your silver
jubilee. Yeah, so we're having a party this Saturday night in Killoireland Golf Club, and everybody's invited. It'll be a celebration of, you know,
it is a milestone, though, isn't it, Keith?
It's a massive milestone, yeah. 25 years, you know. And, you know, it's brilliant to, you know, to see, you know, the old, I suppose, the older generations in terms of when they set it up, You know, like Mike Hickey and those when they set it up back in the day, and they can see where it's gone to now. You know, it wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. And we've done a lot throughout the years as well to try and make it into a club, because it was a bit of a mishmash, you know, with Milltown and Listry, and then Kiel added to it later on. So there was a bit of work involved in making it into a club. But anybody who's in Killorglin Golf Club this Saturday night will see that it's a club.
And Keith, you know, I've experienced it myself, not dancing for you, but I emceed an event out in Ballingarry House, and you move like the late Michael Jackson that night, the moves. But there's a great community spirit as well, Christy. And that, like, you finish as a player, but those players that no longer play give it back.
Yeah, definitely. And you'll see that, like, even one of the standout things for me, even in the intermediate final and the junior C final, was that every trainer that we've had through the years was there. So, like, it's not even just about the football, but, like, you've built those bonds for, like, years to come, and, like, everyone's so willing to...
It's
like,
a real community.
Yeah, a real community spirit, yeah.
Mark, is it difficult to get coaches?
No, we're lucky enough. We've a lot of people. I suppose, look, we've a lot of goodwill within the three communities. An awful lot, like I say, within the three clubs as well. So, no, coaches are relatively easy to find at the moment, thank God.
And success breeds success. It's about if you can get over that line, no different to any team playing in a championship final for the first time. If you can get over that line, it's just it takes off. That's what you'd be looking for, more success in the fields.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Tim, we have it there as well. We're just involved with Listry in the conjunction. They're building their AstroTurf. They're launching their development. They have a €20,000 draw there in the February the 14th as well. So MKL are in conjunction with them. So there's a fundraising that's been launched at the moment. So there'll be an AstroTurf pitch for both the men's club and the ladies' club.
I think it's getting a lot of social media publicity and everything like that. But again, it's planning for the future, isn't it?
Yeah, it's building for the girls.
So,
clubs, yeah.
25 years down, what would you like in 25 years' time, Keith?
Gosh, in 25 years' time, I'd like to be here anyway, to see where the club has gone. I think, I think it's going to go from strength to strength. You know, the foundations are well and truly laid. They were laid before, but we've built upon them now. And
we could see Christine will probably still be playing anyway. So
there's a woman that's 66 years of age up the country, so if I can match her now, I'd be flying.
Absolutely brilliant. We're just running out of time now. And to thank Keith McGuigan, even club chairman, Mark Kennedy, coach and officer. Likewise, you, Christine O'Carroll. You're still doing it for the club. I want to thank everyone who contributed to our programme tonight. Up next is the great Mary Conroy with Tug's Sausages, Dancing with Joy Inside. And I want to thank, of course, who produced as well, Niamh Daly, ably assisted by, he's a Forest man, Rob. Until next time, this is Tim Moynihan saying goodbye.